What do you think about the internet and its transformative potentialities, and how could it be used better? I mean, enlightenment.com, we're saying that if we give people access to everything that's out there, then they will know which pieces they want to try so that they can move forward. That's just one way of going about it. I mean, my sense is that the internet could be the greatest transformative tool humans have devised, but we just haven't figured out how to go about doing it
I
yet.
think there's going to be a couple things that's going to happen that will really put it into a whole another dimension, so to speak. The downside of the internet right now is it's not a full-bodied communication. So it's disembodied, it's agentic, it's abstract in a certain way.
I'm sorry, what was that second word you said?
Agentic.
Yeah.
Agency,
Oh,
communion. It's
okay.
more of the agency
Got
side,
it.
and so it makes it very hard to get really engaged in profound types of transformation, because the fact is that when you're really working with human transformation, there's a component of it that is physical to physical presence. It's not all the whole story, but it's an important part of it. And there's a transmission that occurs between human beings on a etheric, emotional,
Right.
subtle level of energy.
Anything
And
from
that
pheromones to subtle
all of
bodies
it,
to.
all of it. And the simple resonance of the precious human body being next to another one. And all of that gets screened out on the net right now, which
Well,
is
that's why we have some of, let's say, Charlie Tart talking about a few things. You get to watch him, even in a little window, doing his rap. You
it's
get
better.
so much more of what he's
That's right.
about.
What I think we're going to eventually have is, I think there are going to be ways that we can transmit full-bodied presence over the net. And there's actually some very interesting technologies coming out. Bob Richards with the Claris stuff in terms of what you can do with a CD in terms of sound. It's really rather astonishing. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Bob has a technology that they discovered when they were working with the energy of the chakras, basically, and trying to see what aspects of that energy that they could actually physically, what aspects they could reproduce in basically mechanically and in very subtle machines.
Sure.
And the upshot of it, besides coming out with several different types of technologies that are very interesting, is there's one type of subtle energy that basically reduces the level of noise in any information transfer system. So what happens if you take a CD, for example, which is already a very clear sounding sound, and you put it in this field, all of a sudden you're sitting here listening to the CD through your ears, and you put it in that field, you start feeling it with your whole body. You actually listen to this CD with your entire body. It's a very, very wild sensation. And it's very addictive. Once you actually get in that field, and then you go back to just listening with your ears, you go, oh, tin, don't like it, don't like that at all. It's much more real what the sound that you'd actually get in being the presence of another human being. So that's an example of the type of technology. We combine that with holographic imaging, with this full-bodied technology of information transfer. And I think at that point, people will be able to call up Suzuki Roshi giving meditation instructions.
Okay, we're back.
We're back.
Okay, we were talking about subtle sciences and fully embodied ways of transferring
Right. So
experiences over the
once you, if
web.
you combine this capacity for a more full-bodied information transfer to the extent that that can happen, and then you mix it with something like a holographic image, I think you're going to get at least a lot more capacity for human-to-human interaction over the net. And under those circumstances, then I think the transformative power of the net will become quite large. Right now, there are really two main things that the net have done, well, three, but one is it's helped business-to-business stuff quite a bit. I mean, it's sort of bizarre that the main economic impact of the net has been to help General Electric be much more efficient at what it does. And Jack Welch will be the first to tell you this, that the cutting edge network and web stuff that's being done at GE, and it's painful to all of the Silicon Valley types, which like to think of kind of, you know, the coming transformation and all that. But what it's really done so far is help General Motors and General Electric be better at what they're doing. And the people that have had any sort of success on the net are the Kmart and that kind of thing. So that's number one. Number two, as simple information transfer, it's quite extraordinary, and it's empowered, not hugely, but to a modest degree, it's empowered average citizens to find out more about items that previously only professionals had access to. The biggest change that's happened is in how people relate to their medical illnesses. Because as soon as they get sick, they get on the net and they find out within about 24 hours, they know 10 times more than their doctor knows about the disease that they've got. And they go into the office and they shake these doctors up. And they go, here's the latest treatment techniques, here's what's going on, here's what's going on. And I think it's a completely terrific thing. And I think we're going to have to very, very fast evolve a new type of medical practice to handle this. It's going to really have to be very much more partnership between the guy who has the power of the prescription pad and the people who are, in fact, doing most of the research on their own disease.
But wouldn't the same kind of model apply to people doing different types of psychospiritual practices and disciplines? And especially if they really use the net to create sangha, community among themselves. I mean, that's what I'm seeing, is there's no place on the web still where I want to hang out all the time, which is why I keep trying to build that place.
Right. Oh, I think that can happen, but that's a little bit different model, because if you're working with psycho-spiritual growth, generally to some degree, for some period, you need a teacher in the flesh doing that. Whereas on the medical model, all you really want from this guy is a prescription. Mm-hmm. It's a little different kind of scenario. Now, obviously, if you need surgery or something, then that's a different type of thing. But we can come back to what a community could be on the net. I was just pointing out the main effects that the net have had on the world at large has been those, and the information transfer. And the third has been to completely splinter and fragment society to an unprecedented degree.
Sure.
Yeah. And increase hate groups exponentially.
Right, they can find each other really easily.
They can find each other, and that is a real problem. So the bright promise of the net really hasn't even begun in terms of what it can do for human-to-human transformation. And again, I don't think that's going to happen for a while, but I think it's going to be very, very important when it does happen. In terms of building the kind of community you're building, again, the part of the difficulty is that what we call the consciousness movement in general, as you know, really is a dozen different groups.
Or dozen, dozen, dozen.
Dozen, dozen. It's hundreds, but it's, you know, a dozen big sort of general reflexes. And none of them really get along that well with each other.
Right. They all think they have the answer, the truth.
And it's a problem because it's so far it's just being treated as, you know, a catch-all. It's all the new age, or it's all whatever the single phrase is. And it's really not at all. And so it balkanizes economic models, because people want to go in and say, look, how can we reach these 50 million people that are involved in all this stuff? Whereas, a matter of fact, these 50 million people are really very, very heterogeneous. Mm-hmm. And there's no one community is going to get to them. And then you have to start actually narrowing down what you're trying to do and the audience you're trying to reach. Because otherwise what happens is you alienate everybody by trying to be everything to everybody. So on the one hand, you do what we're trying to do at Integral Institute, which is we're trying to be as explicit and as upfront as we can and say, based on just everybody's group consensus, we're trying to find the best second tier and third tier thinkers that we can right now. Right now, frankly, we're an elite think tank. That's all, and we're not pretending to be anything else. Mm-hmm. Once we produce integral products, integral book on business, medicine, law, and so on, then we want to create an integral community that's not going to be elitist or think tank or anything like that at all. But right now it is. That makes it very easy for us to find our audience, makes it very easy for us to come up with business models, and makes it very easy for us to focus what we're doing. But once you move out into a larger market, a larger audience, it's very, very difficult and very confusing, as you know, because you're trying to build a site that can be a happy home for a fair number of people pursuing these. But right there, that you get these internal tensions then, where the things that will attract some people will really turn others off, and vice versa. It's very, very difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult to not offend people when you're talking about their religions.
Yeah.
And any type of way, attempt to systematize it or rate it, mm-hmm. which we're going to try to do, is fraught with difficulty. But then again, it could yield some interesting data and help people.
So right.
You just kind of go ahead and do it.